I'm Meredith, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey. I'm real nervous, and I'm not quite sure why, but I'm super anxious. So I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there so that it doesn't, like, stay just inside of me. My sobriety date is March 27th of 2009. I have a home group. It is OSG, specifically the women's meeting on Monday nights at 7:30. I have a sponsor. I like when people say, and she knows she's my sponsor. And I have sponsees and all the good things. So I will go ahead and start off with what it was like, what happened. I grew up here in Tampa. I am one of four children. I have three brothers and two parents that are still married 40-something years later. It's all super normal, except for me. They're like, my husband's also in the program, and when we started dating, he was just like, what the fuck is this normal family like? And so I say that because that's one of the things that kind of kept me disconnected from the reality of my alcoholism, is because, like, I grew up super normal, like, home. I had a functioning family. I did sports. I was an athlete. I trained all the time. I went to school, got good grades, all the things. And, like, that was so much of my identity that by the time I got to, like, high school and realized that there was life outside of, like, my small world, I was like, oh, what am I wasting my, what is this? And I recall, like, I always had friends, but I really never let people close to me. They were always very surface level. I went to two different elementary schools, two different middle schools, two different high schools. So I really, anytime I started to get close to people, like, that shifted and changed. And it just, like, didn't seem worth it to make meaningful relationships that were just going to, like, leave at some point. And when I got into high school, I went to Tampa Catholic. And I was in public school my whole, like, up until then. And then I got there, and I was like, I have a lot of access to a lot of things right now. And it was just very different. And my brothers went to Jesuit, so, like, my older brothers. So my mom already, like, knew kind of what to expect within that world. So the reins were pulled even tighter. So I learned very early, well, I mean, really earlier than that, I was super manipulative because I'm the only girl with a bunch of brothers, and I just manipulated the hell out of my dad all the time to get whatever I wanted. I got caught pretty quick most of the time, unfortunately. My mom was like a detective all the time and just would be hours away and to call me and be like, what'd you do last night? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, I did such and such. And she's like, lies, I know where you were. And I'm like, how do you find this out? And then she's mad at my dad, though, because I pulled the wool over his eyes. So I just learned to manipulate and lie with them a lot in high school. She was one of those moms that was like, oh, you're going to a movie? What movie? What was it about? What time did it start? What were the previews? Tell me about your favorite part of the movie. And so I was always ready. My best friend and I got sober 10 days apart, and we still laugh now. She's like, you would just always have all these stories, and you'd just be, like, rehearsing them with me. And I'm like, who the hell cares? And I'm like, Carol cares. I promise you, Carol cares. And we get home, and sure as shit, every time my mom would ask all the questions, and she would have all the answers. And she was like, I'm so glad we rehearsed. And just a lot of the manipulation and just lying to get what I wanted. I remember telling my mom early on, one of the million times I either had my car taken away or door taken off of my hinges, of, we can't trust you. And I said, well, if you just let me do what I want, then we wouldn't have a problem. Like, you are the problem here. I'm just trying to be a normal teenager, and you are trying to steal the joy from my life. That was a real conversation. It was not that calm, but it was said. And I look back at that now, just continuing, like now, living life forward and looking back at it. It's just like, God, the self-centeredness and like just like the I want what I want when I want it and it has to be my way or everything else is wrong. Like I terrorized my poor mother. My dad was more of like a silent whatever you say goes kind of person. But I definitely created rifts like within their relationship by trying to like split them in taking my side or their side or painting my mother as a control freak, which she is. However, I was certainly the problem. And first drink was probably around 14-ish. Anybody from Tampa might remember a nice little spot called Club Joy. It was a... It was a teen club, like you had to be under 18 to go, and it was just like, I don't know how I convinced my mom to let me go, but I was with my swim team friends. That's the sport I swam in, so it was, she trusted those people mostly. When the right people were there within the group, she trusted it, and so we went, and even then, I ran into my brother there, and I'm like, God damn it, and he's like, I know who you're with. I know what you've been doing. I'm taking you home. Here's a mint. Don't say anything to mom. Just go to bed. And I'm just like, whatever. And that also just kind of started he and I's relationship, that brother's relationship, like the rift that continued to be it. And I can remember after that just being like, yeah, that was a blast. Like, I didn't even get full-on drunk. I just felt like a change and a shift in who I felt I could be, who I was able to present myself to, the confidence that I was able to have. And I can remember, so swimming, like during practice, we would do different sets and like we would do kick sets. And so we'd have our kickboard and we'd be able to talk to each other like while we were swimming. And I remember just being like, so we doing this again this weekend? What are we doing? You go in your parents' liquor cabinet. And I remember my friends just being like, I mean, yeah, but like, I was like, well, let's start planning it. This was like Monday. And they're like, it's like days away. And I'm like, right. But I have to like really figure out how I'm going to spend this to my mom. And I need all week to prep for it. And so again, looking back now, I'm like, that obsession began immediately, and I had no clue, like, that's what that was. I had no idea that wasn't normal. I didn't realize that that wasn't normal until I got closer to graduation, because I was getting scouted for colleges. I was about to, like, I had invitations to go on trips to, like, tour colleges, and I made the decision that I was not going to pursue it. Because my rationale, which I did not tell my parents verbatim this, but my rationale was that the dedication that it took for me for swimming during high school ruined my high school experience. I had to be up at like 6, you know, like 6 was a normal time, but like sometimes I was up and like at practice or at the gym at like 5:30 in the morning, and I was exhausted. I would do doubles, like whether it be gym and swim or swim and swim or whatever, and it was just very time-consuming, and I said, this ruined my high school experience that I thought I deserved, and I don't want to do it in college. That was my rationale. Did not tell my parents all of that, but was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. So throughout high school, and as I was like looking for a school to go to, throughout high school, my two older brothers went to Florida State. I went up to visit them at Florida State. One of their girlfriends went to University of Florida. I would go there to visit. And after every visit, it ended in them not speaking to me for multiple months. And that was when I was still in high school. And normal people, right? Of like, my brother's like, you're like, having you around is mortifying. Like, I am embarrassed to say that you're my sister. I can't believe I had to get you out of the X, Y, and Z situation. And I can't speak to you right now because I'm too mad. And I was like, well, okay, so I can't go to Florida State because if they don't talk to me after one weekend experience of me visiting, like, my relationship will be non-existent with them. So I had, like, enough wherewithal to be like, I can't do what I want in Tallahassee because my brothers will tell on me and not talk to me. So they're too important. Like, my brothers are still, like, some of my best friends. My little brother comes over every Friday night for pizza movie night with his kids. So, like, those were important relationships for me not to blow to bits so early. So I decided, again, my rationale, right, was I still want to go somewhere far enough away to where my parents can't just be like, oh, hey, we're driving. We'll be there in an hour, but, like, not far enough. This is actually my thought process, and I just can't believe that I didn't realize something was not okay. That I was just like, I want to be close enough to where they can drive if I'm in trouble, but, like, far enough away that I have time to prep myself for them to arrive and not just pop in on a whim. So I went to FAU down in Boca, which ironically at that period of time too was like recovery, like good recovery central, and I had no idea. But I went there, I had my seemingly college experience, it was just me being blackout most of the time, creating chaos. I joined a sorority at some point, and I'm not a sorority girl, really. I'm like, not. That's not really my thing. So even when I joined, my mom was like, "You're doing what?" And I was like, "It's cool. They're like chill, and they are interested in the things that I'm in, and it's like a good group of people." And I got put on academic and behavioral probation a couple of times. Drinking in my letters, which you're not allowed to do, not being able to hold up my grades because very quickly my drinking became priority and school was just like secondary. And I look back and I can see all the different ways that I started to slowly wrap my life around my drinking, and changed my priorities and changed my goals and all the things that I wanted, like, to be able to do, like, slowly started drifting away because alcohol became my main priority. At one point, I remember I worked in the restaurant industry, obviously, and I would go out after every shift at night, right? Again, obviously, and we would stay at one bar until 2 o'clock, and then there were a couple of different options for the 5 o'clock that were open from till 5 a.m. And there was the less classy and the least classy place that were open till 5, and it just depended on what kind of night that it was, to where I ended up and what other accoutrements I was trying to get into. So I... again, I surrounded myself with people that drank like I drank, and it didn't seem abnormal. I'm like, this is just how people my age, like, live their life. This is fine. Everything's fine. Let us continue. To a point where even, I think I was probably like 19 or 20 years old. I think I had already been kicked out of the sorority or was really, really close. And my family, my dad took us on a skiing trip. I hate cold. I don't like skiing. I go for like a day on the mountain and I'm like, I can't feel my body. I'm just going to sit inside. And when we were there, I remember thinking that I had altitude sickness. And then it just turns out that, again, years later, I'm like, oh, that's what happens when you stop drinking every day. Like, you get sick. And I didn't learn that for many, many more years and, like, put those things together because I had been skiing plenty of times. Since I've been sober, I've gone hiking on mountains that were very, you know, elevated, and I have never gotten altitude sickness again. And so, again, looking back, I was just like, my denial of, like, this is not what an alcoholic looks like. Like again, this is normal behavior. And an alcoholic is somebody who has nothing, who sleeps under a bridge, who looks unkempt, and that is certainly not me. And the lies that we tell ourselves are just sometimes so comical. And I, at that point in time, I got back, and there's a while, so my parents had this deal too, where they were like, we'll pay for your room and board at school as long as you attend school, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you can work to pay the extra bills or this, that, and the other, whatever your academic scholarship doesn't cover. And I did that, and then I stopped doing that. But I didn't want my gravy train to leave, so I may or may not have doctored, the GPA stuff, went on to calculators and did all these things, and, they're like, okay, let us see your grades, and I'm like, okay, sure, and, went to, the web page and everything like that, and they lived Tampa, I lived in Boca, so I was just like, screenshot type and emailed it to them. And I'm like, here you go. And my dad still doesn't know how to turn on his computer. So it was fine. And, and so that went on for a while. And I don't know when it came to fruition. Oh, when I turned 21, drinking no longer was fun for me as much because it was now legal. And it was super accessible. I didn't have to worry about a fake ID, any of those things. And I will just briefly mention that drugs entered my story at this point, and I make sure to mention it because my husband and I were talking on the way here, too. I was like, that is truly what brought me to my knees and into the rooms of AA, of the desperation of how quickly I fell. And without that, I wouldn't be here. But very clearly I am an alcoholic and, and I'll also say it took me a while to really connect with that. I didn't identify as an alcoholic probably for my first 9 months of recovery. I was angry at some of the way that AA did things and was just a little brat. And I just had a really hard time of identifying that. And when I started doing step work and, started doing some writing, that's when I was able to look back and be like, oh, that was alcohol withdrawal, huh? Okay, all right, cool. Oh, people don't black out on a regular basis? Sweet. And I'm not talking regular. I'm talking I was so mortified for the things that I heard that I did, that I would wake up and drink again so that I could continue to justify. If my line was, if I don't remember it, it didn't happen. I had a couple of catchphrases. That was one of them. Don't worry, I'm Irish was another. I'm not an alcoholic. They go to meetings. These were some of my wonderful catchphrases. And then within that first year, I started reading some of the stories too in the back. And there was one that I remember reading at some point, and I was just like, holy shit, that's me. Because I had a boyfriend, all of my boyfriends are alcoholics or junkies. That's just my vibe. I am attracted to that. That's just I don't want to be with somebody who's going to look down at how I do my life, how I drink, how I party, whatever. I had to have people that did what I did and would co-sign it. And my thing was that I would make sure that I would find somebody that was just a little, in my opinion, sicker than me, but didn't keep it together as much on the outside so that I could be look at, yeah, he's so poor thing. He needs me. And I did do that on the last one. My best friend kicked me and him out of the apartment. The cops came at very early hours, and I knew my squatter rights, and so he could not remove me from the home. And I called my parents and was just like, I need help, get me out of here. And by the way, I'm not leaving without him. And so they're like, all right, fine. Your dad will be there with a U-Haul in the morning, drive 4 hours with your brother. And he can come. That's fine. But I had this, so backtrack, sorry. One night, we were going out to a bar or something, and he was just like, "You're an alcoholic." I'm like, "You're a junkie. Shush. Nobody asked you your opinion." And I was like, "And no, I'm not." He's like, "I bet you can't go to the bar and not drink." I go, "Well, you're right. I'm not going to the bar if I'm not going to drink. There's literally, that is what it is there for." And so I was just like, "I'm not going to go." And he was like, "Fine, I bet you can't go and just have one drink." And I was like, "Yes, I can. Absolutely, I can." And so we went to the bar, and every time he went to the bathroom to do drugs, I would order a shot or two. I'd be like, "Yo." And so the bartender knew what was going on, and so anytime he saw him walk away, he'd give me shots. And so at the end of the night, I'm like, "Yeah, for sure. One beer. Look at that. Look at how great I did." And it's just like, what? And like, I read a story that was just like, yeah, this is like what I did. And then I started being like, okay, maybe there was a problem there. And like, again, like reading through more of the literature, you know, my aversion was just really the identification of it. And I had like instances where I would do the whole, okay, I'm blacking out too quickly with my vodka tonics, so the solution is to switch to beer. But when I would switch to beer, I would do beer and shots. And then, like, I was like, okay, so now I'm blacking out for that too. So then I would like just keep trying to find the right cocktail, and like I couldn't stop blacking out. I just couldn't. And I had cop friends who would tell me that they would be terrified anytime they would hear a description of my car getting in an accident because they knew what a drunk I was and they were terrified that I was going to kill myself or somebody else. And like, again, like none of that, like my response was like, "Oh, thank you for caring so much about me." And like, not that I'm a danger to society or myself or anything along that. But I was just like, "Oh, they're on my side." And so I would like have this way of just like roping people in that like I could kind of use how I needed to, because they've also gotten me out of like legal things before too. Because working in the restaurant industry, I obviously I would have cops that would come in and sit in my section. So fast forward back to that moment where my best friend was like, "You gotta go." My parents came and they moved me out the last, like, the very early morning. And that only went on for, like, another few months before we started stealing from each other. And it just, like, became so chaotic that, like, his last thing that he had over me was, like, "I'm going to tell your parents everything if you break up with me." And I was like, "I don't give a shit." And, so he made clear on his end of the deal, and I made sure to clear out any evidence from my belongings before he was told them. He ended up leaving. My parents asked me then, "Do you need help?" And they had been asking me like periodically for like years, "Do you need help?" And I just be like, "I don't get it. Why would I need help?" I was about 20 pounds lighter at a certain period of time, and I looked ill. And I, like, had no concept of why my parents would be concerned, why anybody thought that things were not okay. I thought I looked all right. And, like, looking back at some pictures, I was like, I used to judge this guy, lots of chaotic things, right? I used to judge this guy's mom that we were friends with because she was also one of us. And I would just be like, "She like looks strung out." And then like I got sober and I looked back and I'm like, "Oh, I looked strung out. That's why people were concerned." Got it. And so that went on. He was the problem. You get rid of him, I will be fine. I promise he's the reason. I want to stop. I haven't been able to stop. He, what, puts a gun to my head and makes me do... No. And whenever he left, this is, like, also, right? So, like, this other things are out of the way. And, like, I go back to my first love every time. Alcohol and weed. And like that is, I was never successful in trying to do just that. And every single time, probably within like a week, I would be right back to the thing that brought me to my knees and like back addicted and not knowing how to continue, how to do anything within life. At that point, when I went back home and he was gone, I was working at my dad's company. He doesn't own it, but he like worked there and he'd worked there for a bajillion years. I literally was allowed to make my own schedule and I still got let go. I try, and they gave me a lot of leeway. I tried to do school and work and all those things, and I just couldn't keep my life together. And my best friend and I, we've known each other since we were four. We were running buddies during a lot of this high school and, like, coming back. And she decided on St. Patrick's Day to get sober. She had just wrecked her umpteenth car, and she had no more options. Her mother had already set boundaries. My mom and dad are really nice and enabling, so I didn't have a lot of boundaries set at that point. And she was just like, I got to go. I got to go get help. I got to go get treatment. I'm like, yeah, you're a disaster. And I was like, your life is unmanageable for sure. Like, you can't keep a job. You can't do any of this. And I was like, I'm so proud of you. And like, she's like, well, when I come back, I can't be around any of this stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, we'll keep it away. Don't you worry. It'll be fine. And I had zero intention. And like, this is like one of like my moments where I can look back and be like, God showed up even though I wasn't asking, because I don't know how or why, but the next morning I spent that night at my house. I had a really good knack for like leaving my family high and dry, like MIA, not talking to them, not answering phone, because like the guilt and shame would just eat me alive. And like, I couldn't even bear to text her back because I felt so horrible. So she would text my best friend, be like, is she alive? Yeah, I saw her yesterday. Cool. And she's like, yeah, great. I'll keep it away from you. It's going to be no problem. The next morning, my mom, I see her in the morning for whatever reason. And I was like, hey, did you talk to Steph? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, what'd you guys talk about? And she's like, she told me she's going away. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really proud of her. And she's like, yeah. She was like, I'm glad she's getting the help that she needs. And I just started sobbing. And I just said, I think that I need help too. And I like surprised myself because I have no idea where that came from. I was not intending on asking for help. And she found a place and they got me into treatment. And she said, just be here. It was like 10 days difference, right? And she's like, be home at this time. We're leaving that day. And she said, she was just like, I prayed that you would just show up. She was like, because I couldn't count on you to do that. I was unreliable. My brother asked if he could even count on me to show up to his wedding when I was in it 3 weeks before I went to treatment. Like just so many things that I was just unreliable, chaotic, and just a disaster. And I go to treatment, I get out, I come home, and like when they did like my little coin out, my mom didn't trust me to stay in Tampa. She sent me away because she said she was too afraid that I would just get mad and say, fuck this, and walk out and not care if I had a ride or money or anything. So I went somewhere else. And when I came home, coin out, the owner said, I don't know about you. And I was offended. And although the techs had like one assignment that I asked for help on, and I was like, why are you so excited? They're like, we have been waiting for you to let go of the fuck you face and to ask us for help. And I'm just like, it's just there, huh? And they're like, oh yeah. And they're like, you're really unapproachable. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so when I had already heard that, and then I hear these people be like, we don't know about you. I was like resentful and like looking back, I was so closed. Like they tried to get me to participate in group and I would just be like, I feel like I don't want to talk right now, and just stare them down. And the funny thing is that like now I'm a therapist in treatment and I make people talk when they don't want to. And like looking back now, it's like, oh, no wonder that they didn't know. I didn't show anything that I was willing. And like I got home and like I might not have been super willing while I was in treatment, but I listened to what they told me to do. And like I grew up with three brothers. Like, I, as many women come in, don't like women. I really don't even like people most of the time. But, like, I had a hard time with women, and I got a women's home group. I've always had a women's home group since I got into recovery because that's what they told me I needed to do because the women would save my ass. And that is my experience. I got there, and I got a service commitment. My first service commitment was the assistant coffee maker. And my friend Melissa would just be like, this is how you do it. And I'm like, okay. And like little things that I didn't understand why I needed to do it, but I just knew. And I really honestly, when I came in, wasn't convinced this is where I wanted to be. I just knew that I wanted the pain to stop. I wanted the emotional pain to stop. I wanted my mom to stop looking at me and my dad to stop not being able to look at me. And I wanted my brothers to be able to say, that's my sister. And I wanted my little brother to not avoid me at all costs because he was my best friend for a long time until this happened. And so I just did, I tell people now, like, you just need 51% of you that doesn't want to, like, go back to what you were doing. And, like, one thing that I heard loud and clear too was, like, get a sponsor, work the steps, like, clean house, trust God, and help others. And, like, those, like, have continued to be the foundation. When I'm going through shit and, like, I am just consumed with self, my sponsor, no matter what sponsor I've had, I've only had two, they have told me, like, go help a newcomer, get out of your own self. And every time, like, it doesn't even have to be, like, sponsorship. It's just, like, a white chip. And I just be like, hi, what are you doing? What's going on? How's day one of being sober? Does it suck? Tell me how bad it sucks so that my life doesn't suck. And it works every single time because the quality of my problems turns out is all right. And, like, if you throw them all in the middle, like, I'm going to take mine back, you know? And, like, I've had this opportunity. I got sober at 23, and I thought that my life was over, and I didn't understand why I would waste so much of it, like, my youth being sober. And, like, it turns out that I've been able to live now, like, a productive life in society. Like, I have a husband that's sober. I have three children that are, like, that have never had to see, sorry, that have never had to see me fucked up. And what I was kind of going to go through with that, Brian just told me in the parking lot, he goes, you know, I was trying to explain to our daughter, like, she ended up being sick and not being able to go to gymnastics anyways, but he was just like, I had to explain to her, like, you know how mommy helps people? Well, like, now we have to do something this evening and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you know how she does this and this and this for you? It's like kind of doing that too. And it helps her soul and it helps her feel better and help other people. And he goes, your five-year-old daughter looked at me and said, mommy's pretty special, isn't she? And, like, if she got that other version of me, there would be no thinking mommy's special. Because mommy can't show up. Mommy can't be where she says she's going to be. And, like, mommy can't put together a sentence at that point in time. And, like, I didn't always know that this is what I wanted. I just know that I didn't want to keep feeling the way that I did. And, like, that's honestly what kept me here long enough till I heard something that I needed to hear. And, like, my miracle decided to happen. And, like, it wasn't on my time. It was on God's time. And, like, all I do is, like, show up and do the next right thing. And life has turned out to be pretty fucking cool as a result of it. And, like, I get to stick around and be my hand to the newcomer or, like, I have a sponsee that has like 5 years now, but she was one of my best friends 15 years ago, went out, and when she wanted to come back, she said, I know you still do AA. She's like, I need help. And I'm just like, yeah, let's do this. Where are we going? When are we going? And like that is the reality of my purpose, is to be of maximum service to others. And like Charlie decided to tell me before I came up, it's not about me. So thank you for letting me share.